Hi-Fi Dream, it's the deep dive. So that's an artist called Luna Lee, Korean-Canadian artist. That's something you don't see very often, at least for me. Korean-Canadian artist. That's her second album, which I'm really kind of digging, by the way. The album is called Golden Hour, and the song I just played is the title track. I have to say I didn't really spend enough time with Luna Lee leading into this past month. I just found a couple of the new songs. I was like, should I put these on Hi-Fi? And I liked them. And then I'm like, let me go back and listen a little more. And upon my real dive in, I realized I really like her. Now, there's something very mainstream about this sound. Like, there's a lot of artists, I think, right now that have this kind of, like, singer-songwriter, sort of soulful, R&B-ish in a way, but still a little dream pop. There's a lot of these right now. And So I was, like, maybe thinking it would be just oversaturation of this sound, and then I liked the song so much. I really like this nod to the 70s, soft rock soul music of the 70s, and these soft melodies and choruses, but they're good songs. So what did you think of Luna Lee?
I had to look her up because I hadn't heard of her, and you know, they described that she kind of broke out from a self-released, recorded in the bedroom kind of series of songs, and so I think she's classified as bedroom pop, I would suppose, and the production I felt of this song is so good that there's so many electric acoustic guitars, especially a piano, and the way it's produced and put together. And you mentioned that's got that 70s feel with her vocals. It's very professionally done, I think, and I can picture her on her laptop doing all this and doing all these takes. And if that's what it was, being the second album, maybe she had a little more studio support. Not sure, but I liked it. I liked it. I immediately thought, oh yeah, this is a Hi-Fi Dream song.
I thought, you know, for sometimes in music that they call bedroom pop, there's clearly something that you can picture it. But also, when I perform and I'm on stage or something, or in a studio or something, you're more likely to kind of belt because you don't really worry about the sound traveling in your house and like maybe through walls or through neighbors, so neighbors can hear you. So I think there's a bit of a more reserved, and I know when I would record here myself, I was definitely singing more in my head voice and like falsetto or whatever, because you're right on the microphone, you're in a quiet setting. And you're not so, you don't want to necessarily belt. You feel uncomfortable belting when everything is so quiet in your house and there's neighbors or whatever it is, you know, windows.
Makes sense.
So I always think that this sounds like, I can tell she made it in her bedroom because she doesn't ever get beyond a certain level of emotion.
Right.
She sounds very measured and crystal clean. Every vocal is hitting the note perfectly. The melodies are subtle and crisp. I really like it, and I was surprised I liked it as much as I did. There's three songs on that album that I was like, I gotta put all these in somehow. Like, I figured this song would get a little more play than the others, but there were like, on the new album, there was like three songs that I were like, these are all good. And I'm not sure this is, I wouldn't say that this is something that's in my wheelhouse, that like when I'm driving around on Sunday afternoon that I'm going to be listening to Luna Lee records in her entirety, but I am going to include her on my playlist, and I do like hearing her come up on Hi-Fi between other songs, you know?
It fits in really well coming out of Blood Orange too, I think. A little bit of R&B from that, but then this is definitely more soulful, I think. And the... I think your point about it can be too much of a saturated type of sound, but this one, I do think it's sophisticated and jazzy, and definitely for this show, it's a great balance, and it also is a treat to hear, you know, if we listen to Hi-Fi Dream and we hear music, to have you talk about it and explain why you chose the song is quite valuable. So
yeah,
I intentionally didn't pick any new releases myself this week. I try to pick old songs because I know you want to, you know, like talk about some of these new releases. So that's why I did it. I think sometimes if I pick new releases, you know, you're trying to balance it out with older songs, but I kind of flipped it this week intentionally.
There is truth to what you said. I won't say there's a preference, because when you play a lot of the newer things, it's like, okay, now I could play some of these older things that I don't play a lot or talk about a lot. And then when you play the older things, I'm like, oh, I could play some of these new songs I've been holding in my pocket.
Right.
So it doesn't really, there's no preference per se. I think playing something new on this show it is cool because I can explain my thought process. And most of the new things I play are things I put in rotation that I really liked, or I, you know, somebody told me about, and I'm like, I got to play this. So yeah, it is a nice luxury for me. But I definitely would say that 3 weeks ago, I wasn't talking about Luna Lee, and I wasn't even excited about Luna Lee. I kind of knew who she was, and I had some familiarity. But now that I've found a couple of songs I really like, I'm sort of like on that train. I'm hopping on the train, like, and I'm riding it, and I'm hoping that it's sort of like other people kind of feel the same way about it that I do. I hope at that much. But like, I you can't go wrong with certain artists because this is inoffensive. It's not mainstream. I guarantee you're not, whatever the pop stations are here in the area, I can't even tell you anymore. You're not turning on Wild and hearing this song. You know what I mean? It's just not modern and dancey and, you know, obviously a party song or anything. So there is a place for this indie pop sound. And especially when it's done that well. Like you said, the production and everything about it is kind of immaculate.
And it's a chill vibe too. You can't really make out the lyrics too well, at least with my lyric listening skills, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I don't even think you need to, but I like that just a little bit more. It almost in a weird way, this is going to sound weird. It reminds me of Olivia Newton-John.
Okay.
Like her old songs, but most of our listeners are probably too young to know it, but like there's a song called I Honestly Love You, and there was a song called Have You Ever Been Mellow? And these are like really soft country pop songs. Mm-hmm. And there's something about her voice when you listen to those old recordings, you're like, damn, she had a pristine sounding voice. Like, regardless of how popular she was from Greece, and she was a national treasure in Australia, but there was a sweetness and a beauty to her voice. And there's something about that 70s soft rock, Linda Ronstadt, whatever, that this kind of reminds me of, but there's definitely more of a soulful approach to the lyrics, which is also cool. So anyway, Luna Lee, good Golden Choice. Hour. Before that was Willis's Choice of Blood Orange, Champagne Coast, which is phenomenal, and I highly recommend the movie Palo Alto, but just know it's weird and it can be uncomfortable to watch at times, but otherwise a good movie. Next we move along. We're going to the retro pick of a band that was sort of a cult following band back in my early teen years, pre-teen years, I guess. Concrete Blonde, but you chose a song that most people won't be familiar with. Talk about this song Someday.
Yeah, so Someday with a question mark from 1992, and I forgot the name of the album, but it was one of their later albums.
Walking in London.
Walking in London, right. And they broke up, unfortunately, and I'm sad about that because they produced a lot of songs that I really like. I mean, Joey is a big one, but also I really like her, Jeanette Napolitano's vocals. She could belt, and totally. The way they process, they put the effect on her when she belts with this echo, it's something just special of the time, I thought. There was no one no band that had that kind of belting sound with the echo that I know of. And the guitar, James Mankey, he had I think he was the bassist from The Sparks originally.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Before joining this band. And I also read that the name Concrete Blonde was a suggestion by Michael Stipe. So I think they were, you know, cohorts at least back in the day with REM. And anyways, the guitar effects also, to me, very signature to Concrete Blonde. And so those two, this LA rock sound is unique to Concrete Blonde. And so I wish they had produced more music before they broke up. But this song, Someday, I think it barely fits Hi-Fi Dream because it is a lot straightforward, at least sound-wise. But there's some parts in this that there's like this plucky guitar, bum, 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 and then it goes into the belting, and it's kind of atmospheric in the way that her vocals are set up, and the guitars feel a little bit atmospheric to me. So I'm just kind of trying to sneak it in to the show because it's been on a lot of my mixtapes, and this would be one of my go-to Concrete Blonde songs.
There's some really good songs by them. John Napolitano is definitely a talent for sure. I remember when I first heard the song about what the song Joey was about her ex-boyfriend from the singer of Wall of Voodoo. You remember them? Mexican.
Andy Preboy?
Yeah. What, the name of the singer?
No, yeah, the singer.
Mark Morland. She wrote the song Joey about him because it was a perspective of a woman in love with an alcoholic. And I remember that kind of struck me because I thought that song was so gorgeous. Right. And that was the open door for me into the music of Concrete Blonde. But then there was the vampire song, Bloodletting song, which was from Lost Boys, I think. Maybe. But anyway, they had a couple of songs I really liked, but I never really listened to this song. I was telling you this before the show. I have the album, but I would just, there's certain times, and that's probably because when I was younger, it didn't appeal to me, and I just kept going past it. And at that time, I didn't always listen to full albums. I would go to the songs I liked too, after a few listens. So this was sort of like coming back and hearing it for the first time for me. And I'm still sort of finding my comfort with it. So I feel like this will be like the third listen that I've had in the last couple of days, but it's the first today. So I'm kind of excited to see now that I'm refamiliarized with it, where I am feeling and what I'm feeling after it today. So, but I love the Concrete Blonde sound. I still kind of thought they were a little too rock and roll for my tastes for a lot of years. I'm sort of past that now. I'm actually kind of embracing rock and roll right now because I feel like there's not a lot of it and there's so like few rock and roll groups anymore. So it's sort of like become cool again to me in a weird way. Because for a while I just thought rock and roll is dead, literally. And now it's like, it definitely is dead. But when there's something done right that sounds rock and roll, I'm like appreciative of it now. So that's how I'm sort of approaching this Concrete Blonde song and their sound. But no mistaking Johnna Napolitano's amazing voice. Following it up with another group that I sort of put in the same category, even though they're more electronic and a little more hip-hop influence, but a powerful lead singer, female singer who owns the stage, Sarah Bartel of Fantagram, is that. And I feel like she owes something to Johnette for what she, the kind of road that she trailblazed. So first album, first song, Concrete Blonde, Someday, followed by Fantagram's newest song, Happy Again, my new favorite song today. Of all the new songs, that's my favorite song. So I'm excited to play these for you. Let's do it.
Excellent.
You say it's been too hard. You say it's been too long. You say it's all too much. The thrill has long been gone. Well, I thought you could. Yes, I thought you could. And you thought you could too. But it's a place in time. With the years behind are piled up high. But never mind, it's time to crash and burn or fly. And I thought you could. You know I thought you could. You know I thought you could too. Go to sleep now. Go on, dream away. Is it easy? Drags on all too slow. Well, I thought you could. You know, I thought you could. And I thought I could too. But if you never find the heart to start all over again, remember I was one who tried to be a friend to you. Well, I know I tried. Yes, you know I tried. And I know you tried to. Go to sleep.
Yeah. Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.
Dream. That's a deep dive. We're doing show number 50 here, and that was a group called Fantagram. The song is Happy Again. Before that was Willis's pick of Concrete Blonde's song Someday from 1987, I believe he said.
92.
I'm sorry. Fantagram. So I've liked this band since day one. They were more hip-hop inspired in the early days, like sort of hip-hop beats with her beautiful voice over it. Little edgy with a little guitar, but they were definitely unique from the get-go. I always liked them. Each album got better. Then the last couple albums were like, okay. But I really love her voice, Willis. I love Sarah Bartel's voice. She sings perfectly on stage. Even though she has this really delicate high voice, she can belt. She her somehow rises above the music. It doesn't get buried. It doesn't, like, she doesn't lose her sense of key or staying, you know, on key. But when I first heard this song, when it came, a couple weeks ago it came out, the first listen, I put it right on hi-fi because I like them and I think they fit. But I wasn't like, there was nothing special about it. But then I'm sitting on my couch here the night of, you know, when Spotify or Tidal put out their new songs on Friday. So at Thursday night around midnight, I'm always like, oh, there's a new music. My new music folder should be updated. And I'll sit on the couch and just see what's coming out that day. So I saw this song on there. And I hit it again, and I just listened, and immediately was like, eh, I've heard this actually. I'm not crazy about it. But then I was like, let me just sit and listen a little longer. And then I started listening to the lyrics.
So you picked them out.
I just kind of, I was like, let me listen to what she's saying. And then that the chorus of the song, she says, another year gone by, I couldn't wait for the end, looking for the day when I could be happy again. But you called it. There's a loss here. I don't know if it's somebody who's, she did lose her boyfriend who died years ago, who was a singer of School of Seven Bells and also was a member of Secret Machines, a guitarist. He died of some rare leukemia. And I know a lot of the Fantagram songs from the album Voices was about him. So I don't know if this is about him, but there's sort of this feeling like where it's like each year's going by, they bleed into one another, and I couldn't wait for the next year to come, and hopefully the next year would be better, that type of vibe, you know? And I don't know, it sort of hit me, and this has been a rough year for me, and a lot of things going on, you know, my father's ill, you know, a lot of different things had happened this year. And I, you know, I think as we get older, it's always like, you know, oh, I can't wait for the next year. 2025 has to be better than two. It feels like that's what's every year we hear that from people our age, you know? Yeah. Like, good riddance to 2017.
Right, just write it off. And just,
yeah, let's get a new year going. But it's just, right. This is how life is. It's some years are going to be bad. Right. But there was something very relatable about it. And I'm glad I stuck with it, even though it seemed overtly poppy to me, because now I love it. And I think I'll tire of it because it's very repetitive in the chorus. But I still happen to love it right now. It's one of those moments where you're like, I'm okay listening to it every day.
It's a funny song that way, in that her lyrics, when she goes really high like that, that's kind of the hook, I think. And it is fun. But then if you hadn't pointed out to me that the lyrics are important as far as this pick, I wouldn't have picked them out myself for sure. And I probably would have discounted this song as, you know, just another song.
As I did initially, right.
Yeah, so I would have done the same thing. But then also I had to read the lyrics. And reading the lyrics while listening to the song gives it a completely different context.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite open to interpret. And that's what makes the lyrics good. They're not super literal. They're detailed enough to give you the sense of what they're trying to say. But the actual what she's singing about and what loss, and if the band even describes it, yes, this song is about loss, but it's not completely obvious. And so you can infer, like, even the line about, you know, another year, it's kind of like it when someone is really terminally ill, unfortunately, you know, you just say, I just want this to be over for them, right? Mm. Like, I don't want them to suffer. So that's how I kind of interpret that line. And then to be happy again is because if you're caring for somebody, it is quite a lot of burden, and you feel like, I just want to be normal again. But you can't. You have to you're dealing with stuff. But then you can also interpret to be happy again, after you lose somebody, you want to be happy again, like you want to finish mourning, right? So there's multiple ways to interpret it, I think, and that's what makes these lyrics very interesting to me.
But the open for interpretation part is a good point, because I could look at this as a loss of somebody who's dying. It could be somebody in a relationship, right? Like, I've been going through a tough year, we broke up, I miss you, but I just can't wait for this year to be over so I can be happy again and get to a next stage. There also is the version she mentions being on the road and in the bridge, which I think is beautiful, being like, I miss you. I forget what it is about being out on the road every day. And right before the last chorus, so you might be able to find the lyric. But that could tell you that you're away from somebody and you miss them, right? So it's really, you can interpret the lyrics to fit your situation, which is what I do. I don't always like to know the literal meaning, because then if they say, oh, this is about my aunt Kathy, who, you know, and then I'm like, oh, it's about your aunt. Like, it's not about, you know, so it might change my perspective. So I like kind of knowing, but also my interpretation matters because that's how I'm going to listen to the song and how it's going to help me as sort of a therapeutic song, you know. That's how I kind of go about it. But everybody's different, and that's fine. Some people like to know the literal meaning behind a song. I do love their sound, though. I think 10 years ago, they were like really big. You know, she was dating and married to Shaun White, the snowboarder.
Oh, right.
I think they are split up now. I could be wrong on that, but I think they are.
The Flying Carrots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's definitely an interesting person, and I like both of them a lot. And I think for the most part, we have a ton of songs in rotation from them. Glad to play them on the show, but also that song, I highly recommend listening to it in your own headspace when you're ready to listen to it. So see what you think.
A whole show could be spent picking this particular song's lyrics apart. Like, yeah. Hey, I hope you win the lottery. You can't handle what it feels like. Drowning inside, stuck in your head. I can't remember what you said. Another empty summer sunset, feeling homesick. Like, there's so much to unpack from that.
I know.
But that's cool. I think that's a very
totally
complicated song. I mean, it's simple in that you get the gist of it, but you could get really complicated about what it really means.
Yeah, and it's a pop song. It's not slow and dirgy. It's got a lot of chorus. The chorus is probably 40% of the song. It keeps coming back, and they repeat it several times.
Right.
So it's easy to sing along when you hear the chorus so many times. But that's how a song can tend to have a high burn rate, is if the chorus plays itself so many times. Yeah. And that's why I'm not sure in 2 months or 3 months I'll feel the same way about the song. But I feel that I'm happy that I could feel this way about it now, because there's going to be plenty of other songs to come along to replace it. That's how I see it, at least.
Yeah, and talking about Concrete Blonde, there's hits on Joey. I feel like that's a similar dichotomy of, it's a beautifully melodic song, but then the lyrics are about, you know, alcoholism, which is, it's just different. And so if you listen to the lyrics too much, you might think, I don't really want this to be my favorite song, because that's not what I'm about, right?
Right.
But it's still a beautiful song. So if you could separate the two and just appreciate them separately, then you could just say, I just like this part of the song now.
Yeah, that's how it kind of works for me. It's like, you know, some songs have different reasons why I'm into them. Sometimes it's the music. Sometimes it's the drum beat. Sometimes it's a guitar. It doesn't really have to be the same every time.
Yeah.
So the last two songs are going to be so different. These are the most, we always have this sort of, we end with something that seems like a departure from the prior 8 songs. And you went way off the ranch for this one. I wasn't expecting you to dive into what I consider like 70s funk, soul, disco, R&B. This is a big part of my life, this music. So I was like, Sky? He picks Sky? So where got you here?
It's weird. Sky with 2 Y's from 1980. When we did our all vinyl show, I was digging through my records of what I would pick. And I think you saw, mostly I have old funk and disco and some new wave. So I don't have any new records. So I found this one. It's a really unique record album. It's got like, there's 8 of them in this group. And they're all wearing these crazy psychedelic disco white outfits with big boots and flared collar, but tight leggings, and just look like from the, you know, space. And but they're all posed in front of this matching white Learjet, like coming right at you. So it's kind of like an old version of the baller. Like today, you know, you're posing in front of your jet, you're a baller, right? So there's 8 ballers here on this album cover. And so I bought it just because of the album cover. I had no idea at the time who Sky was. I think I bought it in the 90s. And it turns out they had a big hit called Call Me.
Very big song.
But I didn't really remember that. But this album was just kind of, for me, from a funk perspective, it felt kind of generic. But this song, Here's to You, is on that. And I really like it. There's a bass line that's sampled from And the Beat Goes On. But they sing this chorus, and it's, and with these claps, it really sounds to me like one of the newer songs, like the new neo soul type songs I've heard on Hi-Fi Dream. But I can't for the life of me remember the lyric that I heard from the newer song, but it's the same style, like here's to you, dun, 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 dun. And they're all kind of singing in chorus. So I think it's something that goes like, that's right, It'll Be That Way or something like that. There's a newer song.
Oh, you're
song
talking where, about the what do you call it, Krungbin song, Time.
Maybe it's Krungbin, yes.
But
yes.
I don't think that is, unless maybe it was. I mean, I don't think it was used in that song, per se.
No.
But I can hear the sample. Because I know that they sampled this song in a song that we both are familiar with, the Kavinsky song Night Call. There's a remix of that song that has a sample of this song in it. So if you've never heard that, you would like it. It's kind of cool. But go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
No, that's fine. I think that there's just something to me that this song reminds me a little bit of, yes, I think it's the Krungbin song that you play in Hi-Fi Dream. And so that's why I felt it fit. It's a long, winding story.
I'm a big fan of this sound, and there are songs on the station that I play that are kind of like this old kind of funk, soul, disco-y kind of vibes, but it's an area that is personal for me. Like, I'm a big fan of this sound. I would say in the last 10 years of my life, I've kind of honed in and focused on collecting a lot of music from this era, 70s kind of R&B, soul, funk, disco. And I think a lot of it has inspired music that's very popular today, like groups that I really like Blood Orange, like Thundercat, like some of these, you know, Flying Lotus. I feel like they're pulling from groups like this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of it. And it was a surprise because it doesn't fit the typical Hi-Fi Dream sound.
Right.
But it opened the doorway for me to a song that I love that I wasn't sure how to play or where to play. So I would say I'm a big fan of Sky. I have pretty much every record that they put out.
Like this song?
I love the song, yeah. Okay. I would say it's, you know, my top three or four songs by them. It's definitely going to be different for the average listener. I don't think it's something you're going to be like, okay, this sounds like other things I've heard. I don't know if that's how you'll feel unless you listen to a lot of this soul funk disco stuff from the late 70s. But this was a very prominent sound in the R&B world back in the day. And it was super popular in clubs and discos in New York City, at least, before my time. But so yeah, I love it. And I think it was a very shrewd choice for you to kind of come to this side of the fence for the end of the show. I'm glad you did it because it gave me a chance to sort of try another song that I haven't been able to play yet. So
I think this show is particularly eclectic. There's a lot of indie and alternative rock in this week's show. Not as much electronic. I think you picked the more electronic songs this time, if anything. And I think this your last choice, King Britt, is a perfect song to end the show, actually. So I think it's a nice transition for the eclectic rock to the soul. And then your ending pick is, I think it's a great like lead out.
Okay, so this will be two songs, but the song The Reason by King Britt, as you mentioned, was something I heard DJ Jazzy Jeff, who was doing these like during the pandemic every Saturday at noon, he would do the dance party. He'd do a dance party and everybody would log on Instagram Live and he would just do a mix for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, the lunchtime mix. And, you know, I would clean my house while I'm listening to DJ Jazzy Jeff DJ, and it was cool. And he played all kinds of genres and like remixes. And I would say probably 3 weeks in a row, he played this as his last song. And I had no idea who sang it. I couldn't Shazam it because I had my Instagram on my phone and like it was sharing the same device. And So I didn't know. So finally, I started to like dig deeper. I recorded a clip of it on my phone and then like came up with some method to try and get it to pick up who it is. I found out it was King Britt. But it wasn't helping me find, because I was like, I don't even know if there's an album with this. But then, like, I was at Rasputin Music, and I was going through, like, all their 12-inch records and remix records. Wow. And I stumbled across this album used with, like, that song on it. And it was a remix, but it was pretty much the same version I'm playing right now. I couldn't believe I found it. And it was, like, a find, because I was like, I had never dreamed I'd ever own this on vinyl. But it sounds like an 80s R&B song, or like 80s pop R&B, but it also sounds very modern in a hip hop sense. And it also sounds like a 60s song. It's like all these different eras of music. And I think it's beautiful melody. I'm excited to play it for everyone.
It's really, I'd call it sophisticated soul.
Yeah.
And, I especially like these little trumpet riffs.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I've been trying to pick up the trumpet again, And the first thing that I notice, I think anybody learning to play the trumpet notices, that it's really hard to play soft. You want to, when you start buzzing, it comes out really loud and it's obnoxious. So playing soft is an art, and this song captures like that beautiful soft trumpet style.
What a great point to mention. It's so hard to play a trumpet softly. Mm-hmm. And they do it in this one. There's a restraint.
It is. And what it is, it's demonstrating control of your lips, because, you know, you've got to make this buzzing sound, and you're going to have to force it. Like, you have to force your lips to vibrate. And that is hard for a beginner, because you need some flexibility and you need the muscles to be trained. And so it's usually quite tight in the beginning. And I think as you get better, your muscles can control the lips better and actually be more soft. So it's kind of like, you know, pushing a button too hard. It's really hard to push a button soft, because you need to push the button, like you need to actually move to push, but you end up pushing too hard all the time. So that's why beginning typists are always like slamming the keys, right? Because it's, you're trying to push the keys. But really good typists can type actually quite soft and apply very, very little pressure and get the job done. So there's an art to it.
Yeah, good observation with the song too. But there is also a very, like I say, pretty smart drum beat too. Like, it sounds like a live drummer, but it also sounds like a hip hop beat. It's really cool. So these will be the last songs. Sky doing Here's to You. And then it will be King Britt featuring Silk 130 and Vicky Miles doing The Reason. I would say both of these songs might be new to most people, but I think if you listen close enough, you'll be saving them on your playlist later today. That's how I feel it will turn out.
All right, guaranteed.
Thank you for everything, dude. You did a great job today, as always.
Thanks, Greg.
And this is show 50. So next week we'll be back with our 51st show on the March to 100. And we'll see you back here and beyond. We'll see you back here on the Deep Dive.
The songs and artists that inspired generations of musicians. It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.